with 5 seconds to go. Touchdown! Unbelievable! Take it in, folks. For the win, Texas is back, folks.
This is Texan Overtime, a daily Texan podcast dedicated to everything and anything Longhorn sports. I'm Associate Sports Editor Nathan Hahn, and in our first summer episode of Overtime, I was lucky enough to talk to Donovan Williams. Many of y'all know Donovan as a Texas men's basketball player, and he transferred to UNLV over the summer. So I talked to him about his transfer decision and everything from his favorite food spots to a devastating knee injury to some name, image, and likeness stuff. Let's get into it. Thanks for your time. I appreciate you coming on. Before we get into the meat and the stuff, I wanted to ask, I'm on your Insta. I see you posting about Rollin' Rooster all the time. What's that about? And is the hype worth it?
The hype is definitely worth it, man. I mean, I've been all over the country and I've had all the best spots. None of them compare to Rollin' Rooster, man. You get the full package. You can get wings. It's not just the food that you get. It's like the chicken. It's like they put this special like seasoning on the chicken. Can't even find it in the stores. Trust me, I tried to recreate it during the winter storm. Anybody in Austin, I would say try, because for me, like, I actually plan, like, whenever I get enough capital, like, I want to actually buy one and, like, make it into a franchise. Like, I'm dead serious. That's the best chicken spot I've ever eaten at.
So you're from Houston. Obviously, you're transferring to UNLV. Are you going to miss the Texas food in Austin and Houston? Is there anything you're really going to miss?
Absolutely, man. I'm definitely gonna miss Rollin' Rooster. Like, I was there literally like every day. But man, you know, nobody can do barbecue like Texas, man. You're right. Definitely gonna miss the barbecue. Like, I don't even know what type of food Las Vegas specializes in, so that's gonna be a whole new something new to get acclimated to. But yeah, man, the food is definitely gonna be something I miss for sure.
One of the reasons I had you on here to talk to you today is you have your own podcast. It's What's the Word?
What's good, everybody? We are here and we are back with another episode of What's the Word with D. Will.
And you started it. The first episode came out in August 2020. And I just wanted to ask, what got you to start it? Why exactly did you start this podcast?
I was going through the pandemic and I was hurt. I was going through rehab from my surgery. There was a pandemic. Like, this was mid-pandemic. So, like, I got to a point to where I was questioning myself, like, what else do I do besides, like, basketball? You know what I'm saying? Like, you always get this question, you know, what are your hobbies? Like, I used to always answer video games and sleep. Like, I don't do anything else besides that because I don't have any time. I just took the time to learn it. Like, I figured out that my gift is, like, speaking, you know? I figured out that I can, you know, put words together. I can have conversations with people, you know? And I think people, you know, I learned about myself that people actually want to listen to some of the stuff that I have to say. And so for me, doing a podcast just seemed like something that was perfectly up my alley. And there was this guy named Jonathan Jones. And so he's a famous podcaster, very reputable. And so he had put out like a post on Instagram and was like, you know, I'm starting this program to help athletes who want to start podcasts. Tag an athlete that you think, you know, I should give one of these spots to. And it was like 10 spots. And it was Skylar Fields who actually tagged me in it. I mean, I just was like, you know, I'm going to try it out. I'm not doing anything. I'm going through rehab. I'm chilling. I might as well just dedicate some time to it and see what I could do. So I didn't want it to be like an interview style podcast. I just wanted to have people on that I knew, that I felt comfortable with, that I could have a conversation with, and we could just talk about things that were going on in the world. Because at the time, there was so much going on. You know, we had the pandemic, and then we had a lot of racial tensions going on. And then you had sports and the lack thereof. I just bring people on and, you know, pick their brains, and we just chop it up and talk about what was going on. And, you know, I think that was actually what I really wanted to do, and it was kind of the perfect setup, and it all kind of just came together so well. I just realized, like, being an athlete, I was like, wow, now I have a hobby. It was the best decision I could have made by far.
Name, image, likeness is the new thing that's popping up, which is all this stuff about, it really isn't a free education. Y'all are really just working for this and not getting paid. And I was just wondering, have you discussed, like, any of the new name, image, likeness stuff? I know Texas just had their new bill passed about that. I just want to know, have you discussed that with any of your former teammates, new teammates, anything like that yet?
Absolutely. You know, as athletes, we talk about that all the time. There's always that phrase that people want to throw out there when athletes maybe complain or say something about the NCAA and what's going on. And people are like, well, they shouldn't have anything to say. They're getting a free education. And so all we were really trying to say is that it's not free, man. You like, the same way people get up every day and they go to work and they work a 9 to 5 or they work a 10 to 6 or they go do a job and they sit down and they come home and they're tired and they get paid to do that. It's the same thing, man. Like, nothing about what we do is free. And so when people say free education, they're very much negating the fact that all our time in a day is gone. And so when you talk about name, image, and likeness, that's all we're saying. Like, pay us for our time. We're putting our bodies, our minds, our mentals, our emotions, our time, we're putting everything on the line, and monetarily, we're not getting that same equal. So that's all name, image, and likeness is from an athlete standpoint. All we're saying is, you know, pay us what we owe, you know, pay us what we're worth. We're given so much, you know, just give us returning back. Every sport has their own championships at the end of the year that the NCAA makes money off of. And so when we look at it as athletes, we're getting the least amount of compensation that you could possibly get. And so that's all we're asking.
Have you thought about like any ways you might monetize like your name, image, likeness? Like, I know sponsorships is the main way I'm seeing athletes talk about it now, but have you really thought about any ways you're gonna try to maximize your potential?
Well, the podcast was my first way of thinking about it. I figured out that my lane was just speaking. And so I was like, well, you know, when the rules are passed, this was after I had already started the podcast. I was like, well, maybe now I can use the podcast and now I can make money off of the podcast. I can monetize it. And I have a lot of friends outside of basketball that are big in the clothing lines and clothing brands. I've also been able to, you know, kind of build myself into understanding how the modeling side works. And so I can get somewhere into that and I can start, you know, being a brand ambassador, getting endorsed by brands that want to promote athletes. So whenever the rules finally get passed and everything opens up, I think you'll see a lot of athletes dive into talents that you may not have known they had because it kind of was no reason to do it because sports was taking up all their time.
And one other thing you mentioned on your podcast, I mean, you're pretty open about this at media conferences. You talked about this a decent amount, was just your injury. And I think you mentioned that you had your knee injury first sophomore year was that first time you started experiencing that knee pain. But I remember Shaka told this story about how when he was recruiting you, he was like, Donovan was straight up like, I have these knee issues. And so I'm just wondering what that whole journey was like, because I remember you saying like this year was the first time you felt like 100% in years.
My sophomore year was my first major injury. And, you know, I went down, I was going on a fast break and I tried to do like a hop step and I came down, I finished it. But after I came off the move, like, I just had a little pain in my knee. I kind of shrugged it off as like growing pains because I used to have them a lot growing up. It just persisted for about a week or so. And so, you know, I finally went to the doctor. You know, they did the x-rays and he came in the room and he was like, get up and walk around the room for me real quick. And, you know, I just got up, walked around the room normal and everything, sat back down. And he was like, you know, that's amazing. You know, looking at your scans, you're not supposed to be able to walk right now. Like an injury that you have, you're physically not supposed to be able to walk at all. That kind of shocked me. It's like, well, I mean, I'm walking fine, so how can it be that bad? I was very straight up about going through it when I was getting recruited, because I was like, man, this is something that I want to get right. You know, it had been hindering my athleticism, my explosiveness, my agility. It had been something that had been nagging at me for a few years and kind of all my life. My freshman year was a struggle. From about December to the end of my freshman year, there would be days where I physically couldn't walk the campus and get to practice. Late January, February, I had went back to the doctor in Austin and they were like, well, we're gonna have to do surgery at the end of the year. And so everything was cool. I kind of knew what was coming toward the end of the season. But it was that game when we played Texas Tech. Man, I went up for it was one of those eerie feelings. Like I went in warmups and I had missed my first two dunks. Never missed my first two dunks in warmups. Never even missed a dunk in warmups. I just felt weird. So I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna just do one more dunk just so I can make it. And man, I went up for that last dunk. And I came down just normal. And immediately when I came down, it was just like, ouch. You know what I'm saying? It was like that same feeling I had my sophomore year when I did that hop step. So I go to the trainer right before the game starts. I'm like, yo, I don't know what just happened, but something's not right in my knee right now. And so we kind of just put some balm on it, kind of wrapped it up. I was just like, well, you know, we'll figure it out after the game when we get back. And so I played the first half. I'm running, but I'm limping. And so nobody really notices it. Like, I go in, I hit a three. I go in, I get fouled. And it wasn't until I had a wide open dunk. If you go back and watch the film in the first half, I had a wide open dunk, and I missed it. And I didn't miss it because of the injury, or I didn't miss it because of I didn't get high enough. I missed it because I went up, and I was so, like, I didn't want to dunk. But it was so natural to me to go up and get that high. And once when I was in the air, all I could think about was, bro, I'm going to hurt myself when I land. So I wasn't even focused on making the dunk. I was only focused on landing. So I missed it. They didn't call a foul. And I got up and I started limping back down the court. And that was when the rest of the team kind of saw that I had an issue going on. And so they pulled me the rest of that half. We went into halftime. They checked me out. My adrenaline kind of cooled down. Couldn't walk, couldn't move. And I just started crying because I was just like, man. Like, because I'm always a person, like, I fight through injuries. And I was just like, I can't fight through this one. Like, I physically can't do it. And so I was crying, coming down the tunnel. They had me wrapped up in ice. And then we got back to Austin. And literally that night, I had to go to a doctor. And they did an MRI. And they finally told me what happened and everything. And
what was the mental grind sort of like during the pandemic? You have all this time off. And I know you said it was a blessing in disguise just for your knee. But what was, not for your knee, but more for yourself, what was that mental grind like for you?
I began to understand myself a lot more. The grind was probably the hardest thing I had ever been through. You know, I had surgery the day that everything ended, March 11th. I had surgery that day. And so I got back home and I was getting ready to watch the game against Texas Tech in the conference tournament. They texted, it was like, yo, everything's shut down, everything's canceled. Boom. So now I come back home. And so I physically was like on a scooter. Like, I had like a little motorized scooter, the ones that you would see at like Walmart or the grocery store that you ride around with the little basket on the front. I had that exact scooter. Once I got back home, I was like, I gotta get ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't sulk in it for too long. I didn't sit around being like, oh, woe is me, this and that. I got right to the grind. I used to have a regimen to where I had 3 days. So, you know, I go in the morning, and I do my little training, my shooting. And then right from there, I would go to rehab downtown with the doctor and we do different things. After that, I would go to my strength trainer and we used to just work all upper body stuff because I couldn't do any lower body. That was exactly what I needed, because if I didn't have that, I would have just been at home like, man, like, I'm hurt.
How long was it before you were able to walk? How many weeks out from the surgery?
It took me about a month before I was actually able to walk without the crutches. With the pandemic, it was a blessing in disguise for me because normally you don't get that much time. Like, normally coming in rehab, I had the time to do, I could just take my time. Like, I could go work out. I can let nature kind of run its course. I can let time do its thing, heal up properly. And I wasn't in a rush because, like, we had nothing to look forward to. So I didn't have to rush to get back to, you know, school. I didn't have to rush and feel like I was falling behind, but mentally in my head, that's kind of what was driving me. I was like, bro, I'm falling behind. There are people somewhere that can move, that can do things, and they're taking advantage of this pandemic and they're getting better. And so for me, I was like, I can't be either. Like, I may be behind physically, but I can't be behind mentally. Once it was time to go back to school, I was like, yo, I'm ready. You know, I'm not gonna let anything hold me back. I'm ready now. When we get back there, it's time to do it. The grind in and of itself was by far the hardest thing I had ever had to go through up until this point. There's no pain at all. Like, that's the great thing. Physically, I'm better than I've ever been my whole entire career.
I remember in a press conference, you said you were watching a bunch of YouTube highlights. You were watching a ton of Kobe Bryant videos. I'm just wondering, is there any particular player you molded your game after? Like, any guy you really look up to in the NBA?
Jamal Crawford is by far my favorite NBA player. I used to watch Jamal, Kobe, Tracy McGrady, and Kevin Durant. You know, for me, Kevin Durant and Tracy McGrady, those were the guys that I was looking at to be like, those are guys who are taller. So they're taller guards and they have the handles. How do they create space? How do they, you know, get their shot off? How do they get by their defenders? And the last guy I used to watch all the time, man, it hurt me because he, you know, he just didn't have a great bubble, man. Paul George was by far my guy, man. I didn't condone no Paul George slander, but after the bubble, I was just like, I can't really say anything, but best believe Paul George is, before the bubble, before his injury, like Indiana Paul George, is a different animal.
That's funny you mentioned like Jamal Crawford, KD, because I remember when I was watching you earlier this year, I thought your game kind of looked like Will Barton in a way, sort of that same size style.
During the pandemic, I used to watch a lot of Will Barton highlights as well. That's actually funny that you say that.
I don't want to talk too much about this past season, but there is something I do want to ask about, and it's Shaq has talked about this. Matt actually talked, Jace too, actually, just about how tough the season was mentally on y'all and your mental health. And there's the particular stretch. I mean, everybody knows what happened against ACU, but before, I remember, like, not many people probably remember this about the season, but y'all had that road trip because every single one of your road games was postponed. And then at the very end, you had to make all of them up. I think it was like, you played like 5 of your last 6 on the road, the last 3 on the road. And then you have the conference tournament in Kansas City. It's a bubble. Y'all are all on the road, and then you go to Indianapolis, and that's, I don't know, 5-6 weeks pretty much where you're away from Austin. I just want to ask, what was that like stretch for you mentally, being away from Austin? And there's still all that pressure of, oh, I want to play well in these games, but what is that sort of strain like on you mentally?
By the time we got to the bubble in Indiana, man, everybody was just like, bro, this is a lot. Like, by the time we actually got to that ACU game that Saturday, I don't think it was that, but I don't know. I would say maybe ACU had a little bit more motivation to win that game. For us, it was so hard. And, you know, people will say, well, you know, everybody went through it. But the one thing that people don't understand is that affects everybody differently. Going on that stretch, we had March. We had only been in Austin 3 days, the whole month of March. And so we were on the road in bubbles the whole time. You know, I don't even want to get started on the food. It was so much that we couldn't do. What people don't understand is we dedicate our lives to basketball. But the one thing that makes basketball so fun and the one thing that makes it what it is everything that you do outside of it. So now we were in a situation to where it was basketball 24/7. It's practice and go home. It's practice and go to the hotel room. I think Paul George hit on it kind of the best after the bubble. You know, he said it's hard to play basketball when your mind's not there. When your mind is somewhere else and you're not in a positive headspace, it's hard to play basketball when you're depressed. You know, it's hard to play basketball when you're thinking about, you know, what's going on outside of the court. You know, I think for us as a team, we just found comfort in each other. You know, we went on. We got to the Big 12 tournament and we were like, bro, we're here, man. Let's win it. Nobody in Texas history has ever won a conference title. Like, let's be the first team to do it. So all our energy was put into winning that Big 12 title. And so, like, once we got it, it was just like, you know what I'm saying? It was like a weight lifted off our shoulders. It was like, man, after everything that's going on this season, after, you know, all the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations, the behind the scenes things that people didn't see, we were able to get a trophy and a Big 12 championship. The best way to explain that bubble was, I'm not going to be too harsh on it, but it was like free prison. You know what I'm saying? Like,
free prison.
It was like we were free, but like as a team, we had to wake up. We had to get walked downstairs to get a COVID test at 6 a.m. We had to be walked down to get our meals. For the first 3 days, actually, we couldn't even go outside. So for 3 days, we got no sunlight. You know, our meals, they were as hot as they could possibly be, but they weren't the best. And so maybe around like Tuesday and Wednesday, we started practicing and we just practiced. We practiced very hard from Tuesday to Friday. We practiced extremely hard. And I think everybody was so excited to be in the tournament that every practice, we were just going at each other. Like, everything was a competition. And by the time we got to Saturday, like, everybody was kind of physically and mentally banged up. You know, we hadn't been outside a lot. We hadn't got, you know, time to do anything else. And we had just been physically going head to head people were getting hurt in practice. And so it was a struggle. By the time Saturday came, everybody was like, well, we're not feeling 100%, but we don't have time to complain about it. We don't have time to even think about it. We have to go out here and win this game. And maybe afterwards, we can take some time to decompress. Credit all to the ACU team, man. They had it. Like, they were putting the pressure on us, and they were making it as tough as they could possibly make it. As a player and as a teammate in that game, you could see that fatigue really had taken a big toll on, you know, the guys that had been playing a lot that season. So that second half, you know, you could kind of see their play kind of resembled that.
I did want to ask a couple questions about your transfer decision. What exactly were you looking for in a school once you made that first decision to go in the transfer portal?
Coming out of high school, everything's all bells and whistles. You're wowed by everything. When you go through it the second time, all that goes out the window. For the most part, you go into the portal because maybe you didn't play a lot. Maybe you didn't get to play the role that you wanted to play. Maybe you didn't get to be the player that you had envisioned yourself being. And so for me, when I went in, I was like, okay, well, let me find a spot and a place and a staff that I really can, you know, believe in and trust, and not really listen to who's selling me a dream. Because when you go through recruiting, you realize that all coaches are salesmen. So once I figured out the type of player that I wanted to be, now I go through the process again and I can ask these questions. Every player has a plan, but every coach and every staff and every school has a plan as well. And so a lot of times, there's no hard feelings or anything, but the players' plan that they have for themselves and the coaches and the team and the program's plan that they have for that player, it doesn't match. It doesn't mean that there's any animosity. It doesn't mean that there's any hard feelings or anything like that. All it means is that now I have to go somewhere where it matches.
You know, I was listening to the podcast and y'all were talking a little bit about the mental health stuff and also just about the fact that Black men in America don't really talk about their problems. I'm just wondering, like, you talked about how tough it was for your entire team. Did y'all have those conversations? What were those like? And y'all bonded, obviously, but what were those conversations about mental health like with your teammates?
That's how we bonded. I mean, and that's not the only way we bonded. And it's not just Black men. It's men in general. You know, as a man, you're brought up to be tough. You're brought up to not cry. You're brought up to not complain about your feelings, your emotions, how you're feeling about things. You're brought up to, you know, just keep going, keep chugging along, you know, figure out a way, be a man. When we were going through the pandemic and everything was going on and we were practicing, you know, there'd be days when we'd leave and we just hang out and we talk. We'd be like, man, bro, this is a lot, you know, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. You know, people always think, well, if you let people know your emotions or if you let people know your feelings, you're weak. You're not weak. You're actually a lot stronger than people who don't, you know. And it, just because you hold your feelings inside, it doesn't make you strong. What we began to understand as a team is that we're stronger together. With athletes, a lot of times, we're just programmed to go through everything. My body hurts. My mind hurts. My feelings hurts. And so now it's like you're so programmed to just keep going. You know, just keep going. You know, it's going to figure itself out. You ain't really got to talk to nobody about it. Talk to yourself. When people say, oh, depression just looks like someone who walks around sad all day, that's not it. You know, like, depression is somebody that walks around and they handle their business just like everybody else. And then they go home and they live totally in their head. People always say that when you think too much about the past, it causes depression. When you think too much about the future, it causes anxiety. So when you have a mix of both of those things, it's tough. And so I think having people to talk to about that is really big.
I remember that Shaka press conference after that Oklahoma game, where it was just like, our guys are going through so much more than anybody on the outside will ever know. I just wanted to ask y'all about that, and I'm glad y'all are having those conversations. You know what you're talking about for sure, and I just wanted to thank you for your time on the pod. Everybody should check it out. What's the Word with Dude Will? I just want to say thanks so much for hopping on. Really appreciate your time. This has been Texan Overtime, production of the Daily Texans audio and sports departments. This episode was produced by audio producer Carly Rose. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. If you liked the episode, make sure you subscribe to The Daily Texan on your streaming platform of choice. Follow us on Twitter at Texan Sports and Texan Audio. Also, check us out at dailytexan.com. I'm Nathan Hahn. Thanks for listening.